Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
If you open up your bulletin, on the inside is our sermon notes, which are going to be useful during this morning's message. I told the band as they were kind of getting together, I said, I'm really excited about this morning. This is one of those messages that you kind of get started. It's kind of on the radar, the plan of what you're going to do. But as you start getting into it, these stories or these ideas about your own life start coming back, and you start really seeing the message that Jesus is sharing. You see that playing out in your own life, and you kind of go, this isn't just one of those parables that you say, oh yes, I've heard that parable. That's a wonderful, pithy little story that maybe I can reiterate at some point or I can share. But it's something that I think if you think about it and you allow this story to really seep in, you will see it in your own life. It's one of those stories that is so powerful and so palpable that it will change what you're doing even today. We've talked about parables that Jesus told in order to kind of get behind our facade, behind our barriers, and allow us to see our lives from a different perspective. Parables are those earthy stories that tell a very common story, but they have a spiritual truth to them. And there's something that about them that we can remember, and it constantly comes back to us over and over again. And so oftentimes, Jesus told these stories in order to share some insight. Last week, I said that parables come from two words, para and bole. Para meaning beside, and bole meaning to throw. And so what a parable was is a story that was kind of laid down beside a principle in order to do a comparison, in order to say, do you see what this means? And so oftentimes, you will hear a parable saying, the kingdom of God is like. Well, it's not exactly that story, but it reveals certain aspects about the kingdom of God that we have a tough time wrapping our head around. When we talk about spiritual things, very often it's hard for us because we're physical beings. How do we wrap our head around it? And Jesus says, well, it's kind of like this. And so this morning we're going to hear a story that is a very kind of even biting story. And very often we might say the kingdom of life in the kingdom is about forgiveness. And we say, well, that's great. We love forgiveness. And Jesus tells this to Peter, and he says, with kind of a bit of a tone to it, do you really understand what you're talking about? When we talk about forgiveness, do you really understand it, Peter? Do you, as Christians, we say, of course we're all about forgiveness. Are you really? And if not, be forewarned. It has dangerous consequences. So this morning, we're going to open up the scriptures, and we're going to allow God to speak to us through his word. Would you join with me as we center our lives on God's word? This is God's word for my life in this place and at this time. Today, I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I know he has a purpose for my life. I'm reading this morning from Matthew chapter 18, beginning with the 21st verse. You'll hear the question that Peter asks, and Jesus' response, and then the parable, which is to illuminate the concept or the principle. Then Peter came to Jesus, and he asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus said, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything." The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me, and I will pay it back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servants in. "You wicked servant," he said. "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servants just as I had on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father, allow your word to penetrate us. Allow it to break that hard coating on our hearts and our emotions and our spirits, and allow it to be awakened to the possibilities that lie before us. In Jesus' name, amen. I came across these drawings by Eugene Bernard, who lived from about 1850 to 1821. And it kind of gives the highlight or the characteristic. And there's a couple of things that I want to share with you out of this drawing. If you notice up here in the corner, the man is begging the master, but in the background is his wife and his children. See, sometimes we can read through that, and the master said, you know, you owe everything. You have to sell everything. And our unforgiveness impacts not just us. Our debt is not just what has an impact on us, but on everybody around us. This parable is not just about you as an individual, but about how it influences everybody else around you. Well, we know the story that Jesus is trying to tell. Peter comes up, and Peter says, look, this friend of mine has been sinning again, has been hurting me. Should I forgive them 7 times? Now, the rabbis in that time had an idea that you only had to forgive somebody 3 times, and after that you could wipe them off. You could just cancel everything and say they're not friends, they're all done with them. So Peter comes and says, I'm not even going to do what is required. I'm going to go above and beyond. Isn't this fantastic? I'm going to do it 7 times. And Jesus said, not 7 times, but 77 times. And it's almost as if you can see Jesus saying, now I know what they're going to do. They're going to lock in on the number. What is the standard? What is the value of forgiveness? And it's 77. And Jesus said, no, let me tell you the principle that lies behind this. So Peter comes to Jesus saying, how often should I forgive other people? And Jesus said, you're missing the point, aren't you, Peter? Because the second half of this story is not just about whether this man who had this immense debt, Jesus exaggerates the debt, saying he owed 10,000 bags of gold, astronomical amount. He could never pay it back. It is beyond all reason. No matter how long he worked, he could never pay back that debt. It is beyond his imagination. He said, but it's how he played it out in his own life, the impact that this event played out in his own life. If you go to the next one, what does this servant do? He goes out and how does he treat everybody else? How does this moment of mercy and grace affect him in how he impacts everybody else? Well, Jesus tells him, then he goes out and he finds a fellow servant that owes him 100 silver coins. Still a lot of money, but it's doable. And the man comes and says, if you will be patient with me, I will pay it all back. The same words that the servant used with the master. And over again, Jesus says, but he refused. He made a choice. I refuse. And so he has him thrown in prison until he can pay it all back, which was his legal right. And so Jesus begins to tell Peter this story. And you can feel, if you listen to it, is there not a sense of rage that kind of develops? Even in your own, as you hear this story, that here this man owed this huge amount of debt. He was forgiven. And instead of being joyful, instead of being overflowing with gratitude and generosity, he goes out and he grabs and he begins to choke the life out of his fellow servants until he is thrown in prison. And we kind of, the servants, the other ones that are around, are so outraged. They begin to entreat the master. They begin, if you will, they begin to pray to God. Do something here. And so the master takes action. Now, in our own life, we have to look at what impact is Jesus trying to make with Peter. Peter comes to Jesus and says, "How many times must I forgive?" And Jesus is really saying, "Peter, do you really understand the principle of forgiveness? Do any of us understand the principle that lies behind forgiveness?" There is in Scripture, particularly in Jesus' ministry, what's called the principle of reciprocality. That means whatever you plant, you reap. Whatever you forgive, you are going to be forgiven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. For blessed are the merciful, for they will obtain mercy. There is a balance here of forgiveness. So when we come to Peter, and Peter is kind of saying, where do I draw the line? What is the dividing line between where I can forgive and where I can just cast them off? And Jesus tells this parable. There's something that I want us all to kind of begin to wrap our head around. What is Peter missing in this whole dialogue as he comes to Jesus initially? That Jesus needs to reorient his thinking? Peter comes and he says, look at these other people. Look at what they're doing to me. Where can I draw the line? Where can I say that's enough? Three times, they're out. And Jesus says, Peter, I want to reorient your thinking. I want you to think about yourself as the servant. And I want us to try and think of that. What Jesus wants to do is say, please don't underestimate each of us that are gathered here. Don't underestimate the amount of debt of your personal evil that you've done, that you have owed. And I hope you don't mind, but I've taken a little bit of a license here to try and dramatize that a little bit. How many of you know about things called compound interest? We're financial people, all right? And I want to kind of work through this to kind of show you a little bit about how this works. At the very top, we're taking, imagine throughout your life, whatever hurt or pain that you have caused somebody. Maybe it was an unkind word. Maybe it was a look. Maybe it was a hurt feeling. Maybe it was just something that you said off the cuff. But it impacted somebody's life. It changed their life. Now, I made a bunch of assumptions. Take it for what it's worth. I imagine that every year, every day, you did five things. I imagine that as we reach adolescence, we do a lot more than five a day. But every day, there was some impact that you had on somebody's life. Now, here's the thing that we often miss that makes this so important about compounding interest. Have you ever heard the analogy about doing something wrong, that saying I'm sorry, it's like hitting a nail into a piece of wood, and then you say I'm sorry, and you take the nail out, but the hole is still there, the pain is still present. But we're not like wood. We're growing people. That hole that you created at some point off the cuff begins to morph. It changed their life. Imagine saying to somebody as they were growing up, you know, just as an adolescent, have you ever said something out of frivolous that you, as you were growing up, you called somebody a stupid idiot or something like that? but it begins to change their perception of themselves. And as they grow, it impacts them in a deep and profound way. It compounds itself. It's growing exponentially over time. So that all of the things that we have done over our lives are not stagnant moments in time. They are growing. They have impacted people's lives. People that go for counseling and need help with addictions very often have at their core something that was done to them that changed their perception of themselves. It compounds itself. So I went on some very simple ideas. I said, throughout our lives, we're constantly adding to that account, constantly adding little hurts and feelings that are morphing over time. And so that after the total time of our lifetime, we have racked up 100, if you will, using this analogy, you owe the master $167 million. And you fall at God's knees and you say, be patient with me, I will pay it all back. No, you won't. You can't earn that amount of money, at least not in our demographic. You can't earn that kind of money. It's astronomical. You owe a huge... And what Jesus is trying to say, Peter, don't worry so much about what that little pittance that they owe you, those three times that they owe you. Worry more about the $167 million that you owe. Do you know how much you owe God? Do you know how much you have been forgiven? For all of us, self-observation of looking at ourselves, looking at our own lives and of our own hurts and fears and doubts, is the first step in growing in maturity. It's that first ability to say, don't always look at everybody. And you find Jesus saying this over and over again, right? Don't look just at the splinter in your neighbor's eye. Look at the log that's in your own. Don't worry about the 100 silver coins. Worry about the 10,000 that you have and allow that to shape your identity. Allow that to shape how you engage with other people. Imagine if in this parable, if the servant really embraced, I have been forgiven $167 million. My family was going to be in debt. My family was going to be sold into slavery because of my debt, because of what I've done. But it's all been wiped clean. How do you respond to that? How does that response, how does that moment of forgiveness, are you just looking at how everybody else affects you? Or are you beginning, Peter, to look at how you affect everybody else? The first step is don't underestimate your debt of evil. The second thing, Peter, that I don't want you to do is don't justify your response. Don't try and justify it. Peter comes to Jesus and he says, but I'm going to do above what everybody expects. I'm not going to forgive three times. I'm going to forgive seven times. And he said, but Peter, the principle is still the same. You see, forgiveness, when you feel forgiven by God, it will produce a response. You have to react to it. And you will do one of two things that are demonstrated in Scripture. The first one is it will either bubble up in a sense of gratitude. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. And you sing joyfully and gratefully. The parable of the 10 lepers. Jesus healed 10 lepers, and they all went to be washed and to be cleansed. And yet one of them returned out of gratitude to say what? Thank you. Thank you. We have been offered this mercy and this forgiveness, and yet the church should be full of people saying thank you. Thank you. Gratitude is a step in maturity and in wisdom, reflecting. When we come to Mother's Day, you will find that whenever children are little, elementary school, how often do they come back to mothers and always say, thank you. Thank you for washing my clothes. Thank you for making my bed. Not too often, on their own. And this is just a general principle. Children, when they're very small, tend to be fairly narcissistic. And that's just normal. That is normal behavior. They're focused primarily on self. They're developing self. But a great act of mercy or of maturity is as they grow, as we become adults and we reflect on our parents and all that they've done for us, there's a sense of gratitude. They loved us, they took care of us. Even when we were all kind of jerks, they still watched over us. They never gave up on us. That is a step of maturity in gratitude, of seeing and having a broader perspective. When we take a step back and we look at all that God has given us, is there a sense of gratitude? Or have you taken the other step? Have you gone to the dark side? A sense of entitlement. Well, that's God's business. God's supposed to forgive me. That's what he's in the business to do. Mom is supposed to take care of me. That's what she's in the business to do. Right? Even Paul, in his letter to the Romans, had to address this issue because people were saying, well, if God forgives me, shouldn't I go out and sin a whole bunch? Just continue to sin at will because that's God's job. God will then forgive me even more. That'll be a good thing, right? And Paul says, are you nuts? That's crazy talk. It's an immature and apathetic response. You don't understand what it cost to do that. So when we look at our own lives and we say, I know the debt that I owe. I know how God has forgiven me. What is my response to that? Gratitude and thanksgiving and worship is a second level response to maturity. But at the very end, Jesus comes back and everybody else comes to the master and says, look at what this servant has done. And the master comes and says, you wicked servant, I'm going to throw you into prison until you pay it all back. Never ignore the impact of the decision that you will make. What is Jesus doing in telling this? Is he saying, well, you know, here's this servant who asked for mercy and now God is just going to throw you into hell? No. God is going to give us exactly what we wanted. This is the lifestyle that you wanted. Here's this servant who said, this is how I live my life. This is what I hold everybody else accountable to. I hold everybody else accountable to these standards. Then God says, then that's the standard I'm going to hold you accountable to. If you take your servants and you are unforgiving and unmerciful, if you are unkind, then that's the lifestyle that you've wanted. That's what you had wanted. So sometimes we look at this and say, see, the master is throwing this man into prison. And all we really see is giving him the lifestyle that he always wanted. Forgiveness is a core value, a core principle of the kingdom. And it should be our core principle as well. Because if we're not able to embrace this principle, really understand the depth of our debt, and live with gratitude that we have been forgiven from it, then we are doomed to the lifestyle of unforgiveness and unmercy. We create for ourselves a world of bitterness and anger and resentment. And so Jesus turns Peter around and said, Peter, it's not a numbers game. It's not about the numbers. It's about your response to what God has done for you. You can't control what the other person does or does not do. You can only respond to what God has done for you. It's your response, Peter, that I'm more concerned about, not about how you hold everybody else to your standard, because God didn't hold you to that standard either. I want you to think then this morning about somebody else in your life that you're holding to a high standard, perhaps even an unreasonable standard. And God's saying, do you see how much I've forgiven you? Do you know the damage that you have done to other people through the course of your life that is now compounding? How are you ever going to pay that back? But God has offered up his own son that we could find that healing and that wholeness and that forgiveness. What does that do on the inside of you? Does it bubble up in gratitude and thanksgiving? Or a sense of entitlement of just saying, well, you know, that's God's business. He's supposed to do that. As we come together this morning, think about how you can play that out in your own life, about how forgiveness is a lifestyle that we want not only for ourselves, but for everybody else, for our family and for our friends. You become then the vessel through which Christ shares that message. Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks this morning that you continue to use us and to heal us. But Father, we thank you for the forgiveness that allows us to be free, to live joyfully and gratefully, and Father, also to forgive those that are around us that have hurt us, but also are growing in maturity just like we are. Help us, O God, to reflect Christ's grace wherever we are. In Jesus' name, amen.